My name is Josh Benson. I am 15 years old. Today is November 26th, I believe, and I'm speaking with Leslie Benson, who is my mother, and we are recording this interview in Heber City, Utah. So to begin, where did you grow up and what was your childhood hometown like?
Well, the first place I remember living was in Centerville, Utah. And I lived there from the time I was in preschool through fifth grade. At the end of fifth grade, my parents moved back to Preston, Idaho. And that's a definitely more rural town. There were, I think, maybe 2,500 people in the town at the time. Centerville had been definitely a suburb area, and we were in the middle of a new development, and there were lots of kids my age, and it was just lots of young families.
All right. Well, Preston isn't that way anymore. Tell me about some traditions that have been passed down through your family. How did they get started?
Okay, this one's a little more difficult. I would say that one tradition that has been passed down is of having Thanksgiving dinner at midday, like at noon or 1 o'clock, because my grandparents, they both had farms. My low grandparents had a mink ranch, and my gamble grandparents had a dairy farm. So in order to facilitate them taking care of the animals, Thanksgiving, it was a big rush, big buildup to it, but then it had to be, when it was done, all the men went back out to work while all the women washed the dishes and cleaned up.
I would have thought that, like, after the sun had gone down, they would have dinner because they couldn't work anymore, but
they need the sunlight to work outside.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So wouldn't they have Thanksgiving dinner, like, after the sun had gone down so they could have worked, or?
I don't know. Somehow, just everyone in Preston had Thanksgiving dinner at 1 o'clock, noon or 1.
I'll take your word for it. What jobs did you have as a teenager, and what would you spend your money on?
Well, most of my jobs dealt with food service. My very, very first job was at the Arctic Circle in Preston, but I only stayed with it for like a month. I think I was 14. And then I worked at the Idaho Cafe in Franklin. I was a dishwasher. I was definitely 14 when I worked there because I remember getting a ticket coming home. I had a limited use driving permit and wasn't supposed to drive in the dark. And somehow I got pulled over in my driveway doing that. Then after working at the Idaho Cafe, I got a job at the Dairy Queen in Logan that my Uncle Steve and his brother had started. And that's pretty... But the more exciting jobs that I had, when I was in high school, like a freshman, sophomore, junior, I taught dance once a week to little girls. We had a dance room in the basement of my house, and I did the whole bit with them that we put on recitals and shows and stuff, and that was really fun.
And what would you spend your money on?
Clothes.
Clothes. So tell me about school, and did you enjoy it? Like,
yes, I was always good at school, and it was easy for me, so I liked it. And back then, I really don't recall having that much homework whatsoever.
And you were valedictorian of your class of how many was it?
About 150, thank you.
150, okay, so not as small as I was thinking. nice. How has your life been different from what you imagined as a teenager, and how so?
Yes, it has been different, because when I was a teenager, I wanted nothing more than to get out of a small town and live in a big city. So since then, I have had the opportunity to live in San Francisco and visit lots of big cities, and for whatever strange reason, I've come to appreciate the life of a small town And I really enjoy living in Heber. Also, I never, while I was growing up, I always pictured myself being in business and like working, living in a big city and working for a big corporation. And now I'm a nurse taking care of people in a small rural hospital.
Well, tell me about your first year of college and what was your life like?
Right after I graduated in May from high school, I went to BYU to begin summer term because I wanted to get out of Preston as quickly as possible.
Can't blame you.
Yes, and so I just moved in with a bunch of girls who had all of the rest of them had been there for a year already, and I took just a couple of classes. I took a ballroom dance class for fun. And then I took a math class, and I don't remember what else, but it was hard. I mean, I missed my family. It was hard being away, but I was really happy that I got to get out and start doing new things. And now that I think about it, it was really awesome because I got to just, I liked school. I got to go to school all day, and I got to go to the dance class, and it... Yeah, it was a great time. I had relatively few responsibilities to anyone but myself.
Well, what did you major in again?
Business and dance.
Wait, did you major in business or dance?
Or both. I did both. I completed the requirements for both.
So you got a bachelor's in business?
Uh-huh. I really did, Josh. That's, in fact, what I graduated in.
All right. So tell me about your mission and how did it change you?
When I went on my mission, I knew I wanted to go because I felt a lot of gratitude in my life for having the gospel and for knowing, about Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I went on my mission, but I was really quite shy beforehand. I wasn't, that comfortable opening up with people and having easy conversations and things like that. So on my mission, it really helped me learn how to talk to people, for one thing. And in addition to that, it helped me learn what different people are like. Growing up in Idaho and Utah, it was kind of a bubble. And being in Michigan and seeing, well, I'd never been around that many black people in my life, for one thing. And I'd never been around that many really poor people either, who they just were generations on welfare kinds of folks who they didn't really have any ambitions or anything. Obviously, I met people who were more middle class and more like I was used to as well, but it was a great thing because it opened my eyes to what the world was outside of my limited experience. Plus, I was able to see what a difference having the gospel in your life makes in terms of guidance and overall happiness and just helping you make good decisions and knowing that you're a child of God and knowing that He has a plan for you. It really affects who you are as a person and the goals you have for yourself. And I loved my chance to study the Book of Mormon. I loved my chance to really focus in on building my spiritual side.
Excellent. So how did you meet Dad?
Well, as I said, I was a business major and a dance major. So for my business major, I had a class that I had to take. It was called something like Fundamentals of Entrepreneurship or Small Business Management or something like that. And Dad happened to be in that class. And I needed to do this business plan assignment, and I couldn't get the numbers to balance for my budget proposal or something. And so someone suggested that I have him help me because he was an accounting major. And that's kind of how it went.
So what was your life like when you first got married? Like, where did you live? What was your lifestyle?
When we first got married, we lived in San Francisco. Like, we literally got married during finals week for me. Dad had already been living in San Francisco for 4 months and had kind of was kind of established there. Whilst I was still in school, I did one semester of a master's program. And then once I decided to marry Dad, thought, I don't need that. So when we got married, we lived in this complex. It was really close to the beach, but it was really far away from downtown. It smelled like mold. It was awful. But it was a one bedroom apartment, and we had to take the bus Muni to get anywhere. We had the one car, so Dad took the car to work, which left me with the bus and public transportation usually. So the jobs that I got while we were there were mostly as a fitness instructor, and I taught step classes. That's when that was really popular. So most of my day consisted of hopping on public transportation, getting to the gym, teaching a class, hopping on public transit, going to a different gym, teaching a class.
Okay, but were you in the areas where they have the trolleys?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yes, but I was not on a trolley. No, that's not efficient.
I know. I was just wondering, because that's what San Francisco is known for.
Yes.
In terms of public transportation, at least.
San Francisco is better to visit than to, and as a tourist, to do that kind of stuff rather than try to have a functional living
there. Yeah, I figured. So how did life change when Emily was born?
Oh, drastically, because for one thing, by then we had moved to a different apartment that was closer to the city. It was in called the border of Inner and Outer Sunset districts. It was by Golden Gate Park, but it was great. It was still a one bedroom apartment. It didn't smell like mold. It had been built in like the 1940s, and there was no washer and dryer. We had like the stove, probably original from the 1940s.
Nice.
And we didn't have an assigned parking spot either. So all of the streets there, the houses are just right next to each other. There's no space for yards in between. So it was literally like impossible to find a parking spot.
So a lot of parallel parking, I imagine, or
yeah, duh, straight all parallel parking, and some people had a garage. Like if you paid for garage space, you got to have that. But yeah, we were
that would be really expensive, I imagine.
Yeah, so we didn't have that. So I would say I would go to the grocery store with Emily, come home, then I would have a screaming baby and all these groceries. And nowhere to park near the door, because we lived on the second floor. So first there was a gate that you had to open, then you walked in a ways, then you went up a set of stairs around the balcony to get into our apartment. So, and our apartment actually faced over the street. So after doing that for a while, I finally had to stick Emily in the little snuggy and had to make like 4 or 5 trips up and down, bringing groceries in.
Well, it was a way to stay in shape, if nothing else.
It was indeed. And so it was the same sort of thing that played out when we had to do laundry, because we had the nearest laundromat was 4 blocks away. So I would put the laundry in Emily's stroller and put Emily in the snuggy. And we would go to the laundromat. So it was when Dad got the opportunity to apply for a job in Salt Lake, I thought, heavens yes, because we paid $950 a month for that apartment, And some of my friends who lived in Utah at that time paid that much for a 3-bedroom house in Utah.
Yeah, but the land...
as their mortgage.
Yeah, the land pricing difference is quite spectacular. You can always... you can move from California to Utah pretty easy, less so Utah to California.
Exactly.
So how did life change, other than the housing situation, when you moved to Utah?
Well, the biggest, probably one of the biggest changes for me was that when I was in San Francisco, I had finally gotten to the point where I was teaching at a lot of really, really nice gyms. And when we moved back to Bountiful, the job that I got was at this really crappy gym called Sport Form. And but they made me the manager over the group exercise thing, which was kind
of... So how's the pay difference, just out of curiosity?
Ha, 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 ha.
So the nice gyms paid you much more than...
Yeah,
just
duh.
Just from your reaction.
Duh. And then we... so we lived in an apartment that was right next to the library in Bountiful. And that was awesome. That was... and we had a Rite Aid right behind us. So it was mostly like a retirement apartment area. But we lived there and really liked it because it was still walkable. Like, most places in Utah aren't so walkable. Like, everyone has a car. But we still had one car, not two cars. So I would take Emily to the library. We would go, you know, we could just walk next door to the library, or we walk next door to Rite Aid and
stuff. Did people appreciate you taking Emily into the library?
We went to the children's section in the library. Oh, by the way, when we were in San Francisco, we had actually lived a block away from the library. And Emily was worse then when I would take her into the library because she was younger and she wasn't a very content baby, so she cried a lot. The other thing that was huge moving from San Francisco to Utah was just the weather. You know, having snow again and the seasons, it was kind of nice.
Nice? Really? Like, you didn't like the California climate?
Well, in San Francisco, the climate is really quite cool.
And humid.
So when I would come out in the mornings to get into my car, I would have to scrape off the water, the condensation. Like, instead of scraping the frost off like you would in Utah, I'd still have to get out the scraper and do the same thing on all of the windows so that scrape the water off so I could see.
There's lots of fog there, right?
Yeah, tons.
Okay. And anyway, these are kind of miscellaneous questions now about your... less chronologically, but or chronological, but what's the best advice you've ever been given?
That's a tough one. Probably my best advice was to marry someone who was smarter than me. That might sound kind of rude, but my parents gave me that advice, thinking in their minds that I was incredibly smart. And that they didn't want me to have to marry someone who couldn't keep up with me. So somehow I managed to find someone who was incredibly smart and fit that bill. So
interesting. That's not what I would have expected, actually. But
what would you have expected?
I don't know, but just not that. What do you consider to be your greatest strengths and weaknesses?
I think one of my greatest strengths is that I generally like people and that I'm a good listener for people. And I have this innate desire to want to help people to be happy and to be their best self. That goes right along with my weakness, is that sometimes I'm an enabler and that sometimes I don't stand firm enough in, like, if someone's making a choice that's wrong and I can see that it's wrong and I don't, you know what I'm trying to say,
yeah, like,
right?
You want to be their friend, so you don't want to disagree with them or cause contention. So you just kind of go along with what they say, okay?
Yeah.
Even if you know it won't work out in the end.
Exactly.
So who is someone who has influenced you in a positive way, and how did they do it?
I had a professor at school who influenced me a lot in a positive way because he was a dance professor, and he was a convert to the LDS Church, and he brought all of his ideas of kind of broadened my horizon about all the things that could be included in the gospel and all the things that were good in life. And it just kind of helped me to be more inclusive, I think, have more inclusive thinking.
All right. And this is, I got this off of the grandparent interview questions. I apologize, but
fantastic.
How do you want to be remembered, and what do you want your legacy to be?
I want to be remembered as someone who lived with integrity and who served other people. I don't care if people think that I'm smart. That used to be a really important thing to me, but then after I have kids, that went out the window. So I just want to be remembered as being someone who did good in the world, and I want my legacy to be that my children do much, much good in the world.
All right. Well, hopefully I won't let you down, but maybe Emily or Jake will help you out if I fail there. All right. Yes.